Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. Today, we're going to talk about encounters of the God kind. Anybody in the room ever had experiences where you just know that God is setting you up? You're in a situation, he sets you up, and he says to you, now's the time for you to say something. Now's the time for you to pray for this person. And come on, sometimes we take them, sometimes we don't. Encounters where God sets them up. But do you know what? He needs you and me to step into them and to be obedient. Otherwise, we miss the blessing. But he's very gracious, isn't he? Because even when we mess up, he still comes back and he gives us another opportunity and another opportunity. Hallelujah. And we don't feel like, oh, I've blown it forever. We all have those situations. I had a situation just recently at work where one of my colleagues comes into the staff base and he's walking like this. Oh, he can't sit down for long. He's got sciatica. And I'm thinking, oh, usually I'm quite okay with this, but I feel a bit nervous offering to pray with him. I put it off for a wee while. Then I noticed he was in his classroom by himself. There's no kids. I thought, oh, come on, Lord. Do I really need to go in and offer to pray with him? Come on, son, you can do this. So I went and I prayed with him. Right now, not totally healed, but listen, this church, we always encourage you, it's obedience that matters beyond the results. It's stepping out and doing what he tells us. So here we go. We're going to go to Acts chapter 8 today, and we're going to read a story about a man called Philip and a story about an Ethiopian eunuch. All right, here we go. We're in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says this. In fact, if you want to read along with me, please do. I'm more than happy with that. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Interesting. Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of God told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran. Did you notice something? It doesn't say, then Philip tentatively went over to the chariot. It says he ran. The Spirit of God said, go! And he ran. How many times do you run? Or you go, I know that feeling. Don't think, I've said this before, don't think because I'm quite extrovert, it means I find it easy. I still find it tough like you do to overcome your fears, to overcome your embarrassments, to overcome all the stuff you need to overcome. You know, I need to go over myself and just do what he tells me. He runs up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said. Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. Just think, who's he talking about? He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him from the Old Testament, told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, here is water. He doesn't say, shall I get baptized? He says, what can stand in the way of me being baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized? No, do you think it'd be a good idea? He says, what's stopping me? What's stopping me getting baptized? He realized this was the response to when you come to this Jesus Christ. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Just a wee I'll comment. There must have been quite a wee bit of water to go down into it. That's all I'm saying. And Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Just pause one second. I just feel the Holy Spirit say something to me, really important. In Acts chapter 8 earlier, Philip was proclaiming the gospel to large crowds of people. The power of God was accompanying him with miracles and wonders. And God takes him away from the big crowd to one man. Wow. God cares about every one man and one woman. He cares so much that he'll take somebody away from the big arena, from preaching to many, many people, and he'll bring them alongside one person, because God cares about every one, not just the masses. So don't be annoyed about that. Most of us would be. What do you mean, Lord? I'm preaching here. There's 25,000 in this stadium. They're all coming forward to Jesus. I should stay here for a while. And the Holy Spirit takes him away from the big arena, and he sends up to one person. Now, I'm getting excited here because, listen, correct me, I'm not great at geography, but I think Ethiopia's in Africa, correct? So listen to me. If this Ethiopian man, I'm speculating now, you can go and check your Google, but I'm guessing that this one man, who's a very important official, comes to faith in Jesus Christ. He goes back to Ethiopia. He shares the gospel with other Africans, and the gospel expands because Philip was obedient to talk to one man. And the overflow is quite incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, which one person in this coming week could you meet who you will share Jesus Christ with, who will be an absolute masterstroke of the Holy Spirit to open up doors that will expand the gospel even to the ends of the earth? I don't think Sweater's here today or Saviour. But I had a very strange thing recently. I have to test it. I don't know if it's for the whole church or me. I felt the Lord say to me, I'm going to surround you with Indians. So guess what? I started to think, that wee guy at school that I help one-to-one, he's Indian, speaks Malayalam. Sweater turns up at church, works at the hospital, comes to our life group, she's Indian. Saviour starts turning up, he's Indian. He's from a different part of India. And I start to think, and what about those two ladies that we meet before we have our elders meeting, when we pop into Subway, there's two Indian ladies in there who are Hindus. And what about that Indian guy in the cafe opposite Tesco and Crouch Street who runs a little cake shop? He's Indian. You start to think, what's going on here? Here come the Indians. Hallelujah. Who knows? In this small gathering compared to some Indian churches, maybe some people will go back one day and they'll be instruments in the hand of God to bring thousands to Jesus Christ in India, just because we seek to obey what the Lord says. Okay, that was just the intro, I think. All right? Just getting going here. Jesus is so good. First thing is this, some practical lessons to help us. All right, here we go. If you take notes, the first thing is this, God loves to bless obedience. Now, I don't mean to be rude, but we can stand all day, me included, we can raise our hands, we can do the speaking in tongues, we can lay hands on the sick, we can do all this stuff. But if we don't obey him, there's a problem. Jesus said, I delight to do your will. That's the bottom line. When the Lord looks at my heart, does he see a guy who's willing to do what he asks him to do, even if he looks an idiot to some people? Or he'll look a bit weird because he steps out and he does stuff. Is he obedient? Has he got a hold of my heart to do what I tell him to do? He can stand all day and worship and sing beautiful songs, and that's all good. But he loves obedience. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road. Listen, the Bible's pretty straightforward sometimes. Do you know what it says? So he started out. Let me ask you something. Have you started out yet? Have you got going yet? There's a whole world out there with masses of people that are lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got no hope. They are hell bound because of the rebellion against God. And we can't just sit here, bless his name, hallelujah. Yes, but it's got to get out. It's got to get out, people. The message of the gospel that God loves sinners and is calling them to himself. Flee the wrath to come. Flee the hell to come. Run to Jesus. He's the only savior. We've got to get the message out. So I was reading a book yesterday by Phil Moore, and he was saying, sometimes we say to people, come to Jesus and you'll have a better life. And some people go, no thanks. My life's brilliant as it is. Now, it's true, when we come to the Lord Jesus, there is greater joy, there is greater peace, there is greater transformation than you could ever imagine. But part of the gospel is this, you need to turn away from your sins because there's consequences when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, I plead with you, run to the Savior for mercy. Get on your face before him and get right with God. It's too dangerous to mess with the gospel. It's too dangerous to just say, ah, whatever, one day. Come to Jesus Christ today. Philip started out. Believers, come on. Have we started out? Are we sharing the story? And then the Holy Spirit says to him, go to that chariot. In my case, go to that classroom. That particular one. Go to that chariot and stay near it. And it says, Philip ran up to the chariot. This is a man who does what the Holy Spirit tells him. So there's no surprise that God uses him. Let me say this to you, if you're a believer. If you're wondering, why am I not seeing a greater impact in my life for Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a question. What was the last thing God told you to do? Go back and do it. Then you'll get the next bit. Secondly, God reveals his plan in stages. Anybody in the room glad that God doesn't tell you everything about your whole life ahead all in one go? I certainly am. It would scare the living daylights out of me. Probably. God usually reveals bit by bit. He takes Philip one step at a time. Listen to this. This is what he said to Abraham. In fact, this scripture was quite important to me where when I was a single man, before I married Debs, I felt God tell me to do something similar. And this was it. Leave your country. Now, some of you, I don't want to get political, but some of you are sitting there thinking it's the same country. All right. That's okay. I love you dearly. Well, kind of. It says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. By the way, I love living here. And English people, 99.9%, have been very kind to me. I've encountered one or two unpleasant people. I do remember, this is on video, isn't it? But it's all right, it's a long time ago. I do remember once going to a meeting in a school I taught in, and I never thought I'd ever hear this. But this lady, who was a fellow teacher, said, that's the problem with you Scots coming down here and taking our jobs. I thought, thanks very much. If you said that to an African or an Asian, you know, you'd be done for racism. You would be. But that's a unique case. People have been so loving, so welcoming, so kind. I love living here and I love to be part of this family. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. He never said, what are you talking about? I'm not going. Do you know what? The Lord never even told them which country he was going to. Can you imagine that? That's crazy. Jackie Pullinger, just come to me right now. Jackie Pullinger, a mighty woman of God who served in Hong Kong amongst the drug addicts, the prostitutes, did a fantastic work. I believe, as far as I know, she's still alive. Do you know what happened with Jackie Pullinger? The Lord said to Jackie Pullinger, get on a boat and I'll tell you when to get off. Who's sitting there thinking, come on, yes, brilliant. Oh, that is a brilliant idea. Let's get on the old easy jet. and we'll just go from one place to the other. And when God says, stay here, we'll stay. That's phenomenal. What a mighty woman of faith. She got off at Hong Kong. Well, the rest is history. Every changed life is a testimony to a mighty woman of God who just said, okay, Holy Spirit, I'll do what you say. I'll get off now. Wow, that is quite incredible. Thirdly, very, very powerful thing we need to get in the church generally. God invites all. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. Sometimes, let me say this lovingly, sometimes in the church, we can have, and I understand it, we can have a natural bias to the poor and the obviously needy. But we must be careful that when the rich man or the rich woman comes close, they also get treated with love and respect. Do you know why? Because they're needy as well. They need the gospel. They need the same gospel that the homeless man or woman needs. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. Philip was not intimidated in any way by the rank of the eunuch. Let me ask you something. Who are you intimidated by? What types of people intimidate you where you back off and you don't feel like sharing the gospel because it's a bit intimidating? I could start to list a whole bunch. His passion was to tell this guy the good news because he realized something. You can have all the wealth and the money, all the wealth in the world. You can have all your life planned out, all your holidays, all your cars, all your buildings. You can have all the lot, and you're as lost can be. The same gospel is for the rich man or woman as it is for the homeless man or woman who's on drugs on the street and is struggling and has to go to the food bank on a regular basis. Listen to me, the gospel's for all. Who are you backing off from? People filled with tattoos and more piercings than a dartboard? Members of the LGBTQ plus community? Romanies? When I went to Romania several times years ago, the Romani people were the most despised. They called them the gypsies, the traveling people. Despised. And we've had a sad history in parts of Western Christianity with downright racist attitudes towards people that come among us. Do you know that Mahatma Gandhi, the famous Indian leader, long time ago, when he came to this country, he went to visit some churches and nobody made him welcome. Nobody welcomed him. So he backed off. Is it a class thing? Well, I can't relate to them because they live a different lifestyle from me. Is it a culture thing? They do things differently from me. Is it a religious thing? Do you find it difficult to talk to Muslims? Do you find it difficult to talk, I don't know, Catholics or Hindus? You know, are there a people group you just back off from? Sexuality. The Bible's clear, but the Bible's clear in something else. We love sinners. The same gospel that saved me is the same gospel that will save people from any sexuality. It's the same root. It's the same root. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. There's no other way. So whatever your background, whatever way you live your life, you need to come to God, but you've got to come through the Savior. It's the only way you can come. Is it appearance? I mentioned that. I've told the story before. The guy came to our door once. Hi, I'm the plumber. Absolutely covered in tattoos. I thought, that's fine. You're not like my normal plumber, but that's okay. Lovely, lovely guy. We judge. Come on, people. Don't sit there and, you know, we all do it. We judge, we look at people and we think, well, that's interesting. God is no respecter of persons. This gospel is for everyone. So this week, be on the lookout. In fact, I'm going to ask you to pray a very dangerous prayer. Why don't you just say to the Lord, oh, Holy Spirit of God, lead me to people that I normally would find difficult. Give me opportunities to share the good news so I can see you moving power in their lives. Brothers and sisters, please, I plead with you, don't back off. Don't run away. Don't step back because people are different. We all need Jesus Christ, and that includes all peoples from all backgrounds. All of us messed up by sin. We need a Saviour. And the Lord Jesus, as I often look up, I don't worship statues, but I often look up and I'm just reminded those arms that were spread out is also symbolic that they're spread out for all to come. They're not like this. They're spread out for the welcome is for all. The next thing is this. Never underestimate the power of his word. I was in a maths lesson the other day. And this little African boy said to me, I just mentioned God briefly, and he said to me, remember, sir, there are things that if we believe, we will have them. I'm thinking, wait, well, go for it, mate. Preach it. This is fantastic. We go, this is great. God has said if we believe for the impossible, things can happen. I said, we need to chat a bit more. That's fantastic. Love it. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? The Holy Spirit stirs hearts. Pray for the Holy Spirit to stir the hearts of your neighbors, the people that you meet. Ask him to get their hearts going with some desire to know the truth. He creates a hunger to know this truth, and he speaks through his word to reveal Jesus. Paul says in Romans, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Can I say this lovingly? Faith is not something that's whipped up. You don't get it by turning the music up louder. You don't get it by, you know, belting songs out louder. You don't get it when you've got a charged atmosphere where people are having a great time. Faith comes. It's a gift. It comes from hearing what God says through his word. So never underestimate the power of the word. I mean, I am just so blessed. There are many people we're surrounded by in this church who just love the word. And when you ask them what God's doing, the word's in them. It's flowing out of them. It's doing them good. And I keep saying it, but it's true. The purpose of the word is to encounter the God of whom it speaks. That's the point. If we're encountering him when we come to his word, our confidence grows and faith comes. Even if it's just a little mustard seed, it comes from God. We don't whip it up. Just on that point, it's important to remember that faith can come very quietly. It's not how loud the meeting is. Sometimes, yeah. But sometimes it's as quiet can be. And the Holy Spirit just drops something into your heart and you just know it's sorted. It's sorted. Nail it out. Always, next point, always be prepared. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. Praise God, we've got hope. We have got hope. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, does that mean when you meet someone and they want to find out about Jesus, that you have to have this big package of everything all sorted and you explain it all? Well, let me take you to Genesis, we'll go through Exodus and we'll explain the whole story all the way through. Well, most of us, including me, would find that very, very difficult. I think it's this. just tell them what the Lord's done for you. Tell them your story. Bring in the Word of God, how the Word of God changed your life. And tell them in simplicity what He means to you and how much you love Him. You don't have to have, no disrespect, there's nothing wrong with a theological degree, but you don't have to have a theological degree just to say, look what the Lord has done. Tell them what He's done. Now, it's important to remember there's preparation involved. When we come to read the scriptures, when we come to study the scriptures, we learn more about who He is and what He's done. That helps us when we communicate with others. Apologetics, that's a big fancy word for just understanding more about what the Bible has to say about people's complaints, questions about faith. We can grow in that. That's why we have things like training days amongst our churches to help people to grow in how to understand God's word better. And training days are a very helpful thing as well. Now, here's a very key thing. It's not just the preparation, it's the presentation. Now, some believers, and maybe I have erred a little bit this way in the past particularly, we like to pick up on almost everything to turn it into a gospel opportunity. You have somebody around your house, they put some salt in their chips. I know a story about salt. Jesus, you know, I'm not quite as bad maybe as I used to be, but some of us just latch on to every single wee opportunity we want to tell this story. It's great, it's good. But here it says, seasoned with salt. Seasoned, all right? Now, I love chips, especially from the chippy. I don't think there's any chips in the world. Sorry, McDonald's and Burger King fans. There's no chips like chips from a Scottish, well, any chippy, because they're greasy. They're greasy, and you have loads of salt and vinegar on them. But let me tell you something. Who's with me? If you put too much salt on them, it's out with the Iron Brew, right? Or the Coca-Cola, because you have to drink lots because it's too salty. Listen, it's the same with the gospel. If someone comes round your house for a cup of tea and a game of darts, and then you start on, well, in Genesis 1, you know, and you just blutter them with the gospel, it can be too much. And secondly, it says about Jesus that He was full of grace and truth. This is very important whenever we're sharing the gospel. Listen to me very carefully, brothers and sisters. We need to tell the truth. Don't lie to people. Don't sweet coat it and tell them, God's cool with the way you live, if He's not. Don't sweet coat it. You've got to tell the truth, but here's the deal. You've got to do it graciously. Grace and truth together. So let me tell you something. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way as I do, and I've got a friend of mine or a relative of mine that I love and I care about, it's criminal to shut up and not tell them the gospel. Sorry, maybe that's too strong a word. It's dreadful. They're lost. And I'm just standing by and letting them be lost. I've got to tell them the gospel. I've got to tell them the truth. But I've got to do it graciously, lovingly. But also unashamedly. If you believe the gospel, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Paul says, I ain't going to apologize for this gospel. I ain't going to shrink back. I'll do it gently. I'll do it graciously. But I've got to tell the truth. I love these people. What does he say? He says, the love of Christ constrains me. I have to tell them. And finally, excuse me, don't settle for converts. Make disciples. Jesus never came to hold meetings where people put their hand up and said, I'm in, and then leave them alone. Whenever someone in this church comes to faith in Jesus, I would be hoping there's a whole bunch of people nearby saying, I'll help you. Now that you've come to Jesus, I'll help you in your journey. I'll support you. I'll pray with you. I'll help you to grow as a disciple of Jesus. We all need that. I don't think that's heavy. I think it's loving. I want brothers to speak into my life and say, and sisters, but particularly closer alongside. I want brothers to get alongside me and help me to grow in my walk with God and say, that attitude, Al, come on. That's not very nice. Can you sort that? We need it. It's not popular to preach. The Western church doesn't like it. Leave me alone. I'll just follow Jesus, me and Jesus. No, I'll follow Jesus in community with my brothers and sisters. He says, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? There's evidence of change. The guy's been changed. Let me ask you something. How much does your life look different compared to the day when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it just the same? Well, that worries me. Pastor, it's one of your pastors. That worries me. If you say, oh, I've been a Christian 10 years, I don't really see much change at all. That doesn't sound like the gospel's doing its work in you. Maybe you need to go back and think again, have I really given everything to him? But equally, not everything's transformed drastically in 1 second. There's a journey. We come to him, we get changed, we get forgiven, and we go on a journey, and he continues to work on us and change us, and we're not the person we used to be. I was just standing there today worshiping, saying to the Lord when we were worshiping him, it doesn't get easier sometimes. Sometimes it's tough, but it's better. I love him more today than I loved him when I first met him. I've heard all these people in the past, I've said this to you before, I've heard people say, well, I just came to Jesus and I was overwhelmed, I just surrendered, everything, I was filled with such joy. And that's great. But what about now? 25 years ago, what about now? Do you love him? Do you think, oh, I'm so blessed to be saved. Thank you, you came after me all those years ago and you brought me to yourself. I love you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness. The old gospel hymn they used to sing in my brethren days, he gets sweeter as the days go by. His love gets sweeter. It's more beautiful than ever. Have you noticed, just nearly in closing now, have you noticed that when people quote Matthew 28, they say this, go into all the world and make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does the next bit say? Yeah, go on, somebody shout it if you want to. Yeah, go for it, bro. Yeah, teach them. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's part of discipleship. Bring them to Jesus. Let's see them getting baptized in water. Let's see them getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's see them growing and obeying Jesus in everything that he's commanded. That's what discipleship looks like. Not, I put my hand up once at an event. I said a prayer, but I'm just the same guy I've always been. Some people go to events, they put their hand up, they radically meet Jesus and they get saved. Hallelujah. But there's got to be evidence of change. Evidence of change. So, who are you connecting with for discipleship? Let me challenge you, brothers and sisters. Are you just going it alone? Thank you. And the Lord saith unto him, from on high. Who are you connecting with for discipleship? Is there some brother or sister in the church where you could say, please, get alongside me. I want help. I want to grow in my walk with God. Please come and help me. Please pray with me. Please help me. Give me something of your experience. How have you found the Lord to be over those 20, 30, 40, 50 years you've walked with him? Teach me. I want to learn. But also, what evidence is there that you and I are growing as disciples? Are we, day by day, just becoming a wee bit more like Jesus that we think, oh, has anybody ever noticed this? That the more you walk with Jesus, often the more you realize he still has to change you. I do. I'm still impatient. I've still got faults, things that we, you know, we all have that we struggle with. It's still a work in progress. But the heart is there. The heart is there to want to change and to be transformed by him. So, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something, just as I come to a close. Friday, Hugh couldn't make it because he's obviously preparing for Japan. But on Friday, because it was my day off, I managed to get together. There's a sort of Colchester pastors, leaders gathering that Barry, who's been here, Barry from the Equippers, calls together. And I went and met these brothers and a sister, and it was fabulous. I just want to encourage you. Kingsland had such a number of people on Easter Sunday that they had to overflow into the cafe. Neil Loxley reckoned it was the biggest number of people they'd ever had at any service. Equippers was heaving. We were heaving last week. Admittedly, lots of Josh's family were here and other family members from those being baptised. But listen, God's up to something. Come on. Some of us in this room are longing for the day when the Lord Jesus Christ is the most famous talked about person in this city. We're not here to play games. Not interested. You can watch Sky Sports all day for that. I'm not here to play games. I'm here to equip you, hopefully, and encourage you. Let's go into this week. We have the Spirit of God within us. We have the power we need. Let's ask him for opportunities. Can I just say one thing? I think it would help. I don't know, as elders, how we make this possible, because time sometimes can be limited. But I think we need to share our stories with each other. So could you start maybe in our life group leaders, maybe in our life groups, can you encourage people to put on their stories of someone they've spoken to about the gospel and to say, pray for Jack or pray for so-and-so. Encourage one another with stories, and hopefully we can try and fit that into wider church life as well. Because what happens with great stories, it encourages people and thinks, if God can do it with her or him, he can do it with me. So let's encourage one another. Okay, let's stand together if we're able to do that. If not, no worries. Can we just invite the band back? Let's just pray. Now, if you're a visitor, don't feel in any way embarrassed. But let me ask you to do something. Rather than pray for individuals, I'd love you, if possible, to grab the hand of a person next to you. I'm going to pray two things over you, and I'm going to invite you to join with me in this prayer if you're happy. Okay? Here we go. This is the prayer. The first part of the prayer is that the Holy Spirit will create more opportunities, even in this coming week, for each of us to be able to share the good news. That's the first thing, more opportunities. And with that, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will help us, give us strength and power to say, I'm going for it. Anybody up for that? Okay, let's do it together. Let's do it together with one voice, okay? Let's pray into those two things. Lift your voice with me, let's go. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for all my brothers and my sisters and myself that you would give us more opportunities to share the good news of the gospel even this week. I pray for people to come out of the woodwork, people who we thought, wow, that's odd. I pray for opportunities, and Lord, I pray across the church today that each one of us will have the power and help of the Holy Spirit to step into the opportunities and to go for it and share the good news and tell them how much you mean to us. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you, church. Let's worship.